Good morning, everyone. It's great to be here at the Good News Church. As Renato said, my name is Adam. This is my wife, Diana. We've been married for 30 years, and we love doing missions work. And when we were married, for the first time that we ever went anywhere as a married couple, is we started going to the church in Brazil, Belo Horizonte, Brazil, and we got to meet the scholars, you know, up close and personal. In teamwork, living in their homes and going in their cars. And of course, the beauty of when we think of the scholars, we think of how they helped us in the first 5 years of marriage. How many know what the first 5 years of marriage are like, right? It's kind of new. You got this new person waking up next to you, and you still want to be a Christian the next day, right? And that's the goal. And they really helped us with that. Being a Christian couple on mission in another country, huge adjustment for us. We thank God for their lives. Thank you guys for appreciate your friendship and your love. And of course, we got to meet Renato and Rachel, wherever Rachel is. We got to see her. We actually were on their wedding day. We were there on their wedding day and celebrating with them in Belo Horizonte, Brazil. It's a joy. Real simple. We have been missionaries since we were married for 30 years now. We worked in Washington, D.C., that's how we met, and established a Spanish church there in the Hyattsville, Maryland area. University of Maryland, anyone? That's where we planted a church in the D.C. area on the Maryland side, and that's how we met. And then we were married in 1993, went to Brazil for 5 years, amazing time there. And then God called us to open up some doors and look at Cuba. The island of Cuba became very, very attractive to us. And we started doing ministry there for 20 years. If it wasn't for COVID, we would have been there once or twice every year for 20 years, preaching, teaching, establishing works, and on the island of Cuba. Pretty amazing, Cuba. We can talk about that. And then eventually we came back to Baltimore. And then from there, from Baltimore, we went to Caracas, Venezuela, where Diane and I have been ministering and sharing and church planting for the last 18 years. In the capital city of Caracas. Beautiful Caribbean Ocean. We don't apologize for that. We take our day off and we go to the Caribbean Ocean on Fridays. The whole Fridays, we're in the ocean. We just love it. We're in a beautiful, impactful city of Caracas. And then into the ocean we go and we enjoy that time there. So that's the overview of ministry. And Diana said that she wanted to share more on the personal side, like our family life and things like that. So go ahead, hon. Is that good?
Yeah, hi.
Did I do a good job, by the way?
You did a good job.
Okay, thank you.
Did a good job. Hi, everybody. So as you can see in our picture, we have two sons, Daniel and David. Daniel's 25. David is 21. We'll turn 22 next Monday. And David is getting married next Sunday to Hope Holman, who also grew up as a missionary in Bolivia. And so we're actually on our way down to Florida to attend the wedding of our son, our baby. And so we're really excited, and we're just amazed at how God is growing our family. And so those boys grew up on the mission field, very much like Rachel did and her family. And so they're both loving God and following God, and we're just blessed that they're a part of our lives and that they're part of a lot of the ministries that we do. So that was basically what I wanted to share, was about our kids.
Pastor Drew, thank you for inviting us. Thank you for having us. Thank you for breakfast yesterday. Great time at Oi. Think of the Brazilian hello, Oi, right? But it's O-W-O-Y, right? So thank you for that. It's a privilege to meet you and to get to know the church today. And we just want to take a couple minutes to share the word of God, and then we'll be able to pass that on. Diana has, where did you set up? Okay. She has our Venezuelan table where we have prayer cards. If you want to just look us up and see some more information, have the cards there. You can talk to her, ask her more questions. We do this all the time. A lot of the years, if we're not in Venezuela or in some country, we're in a church somewhere sharing about missions. So please look her up and go over to her and talk to her, and she'll give you some more information. So thank you so much. So how about if we open the Word of God for about 15, 20 minutes? I just want to share with you something that was shared from another missionary. And we as preachers, we know that we really don't come up with anything new, right? We just preach about what's already there. You know, it's what God has already done. And there really isn't anything new under the sun, per se. But there are different angles and perspectives that God gives us to be able to see and understand His character in a more unique, personal way, right? And so I just want to share on that for a couple of minutes and open up the Word of God. So if we could just pray and ask the Holy Spirit to minister to us and give us that capacity to understand what He wants us to understand today, and then we'll just jump right in and hopefully we'll close out too. It's important to land the airplane, isn't it? Especially with Atlanta Airport around the corner. Father, we thank You. Thank You for this precious time with this precious church. Bless Good News Church. Love the Good News Club on Tuesdays, Lord. Minister to the children. Minister to the families in this church, in the community, as they look to do the Dads on Tap. Just bless the outreach, the inreach. And God, may You do the work this morning in our hearts and mend and sow and connect the way that only You can in our hearts and our minds. Because really, we're here because really we're seeking Your face. And we want to get to know You. And we thank You for another precious day. It's a gift that You've given us to get to know You and to share with the fellow believers and people who are also on this journey of faith. And so may You bless this time for Your glory, and in Your name we pray, amen. So if you have your Bible, if you have your apparatus, in our church we call it an apparatus, real quick, true story, when the youth started using their Bible apps in the church, I yelled at them in the middle of the church service, says, "What are you guys doing?" And they said, "Wait a minute, I'm on the Bible. I'm reading the Bible from my Bible, from my phone." And I didn't know you could do that. So I was corrected in church, and so I was very, very hesitant to bring that up again. But if you have your Bible on your phone, if you have your Bible, physical Bible, let's open up to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 through 10 really is the text, just four verses. I'm going to jump somewhere else to build on that. But I'll just leave you there. Those are the verses. That's the heartbeat of where I want to go and just leave that with you, hopefully, as God can minister to us together in this reading. So it says 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. "And because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, to buffet me, to keep me from exalting myself." Verse 8, "Concerning this, I entreated the Lord three times that it may depart from me, taken from me." Verse 9, "And He said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness.'" As you can tell with a subtle pause, that is the point of the message. Power, and actually it says in the Greek, "My power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may dwell in me." Verse 10, "Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." And there it is. That's the message. That's the whole context of the message. If you back up to the beginning of the chapter, you see the revelations that he received. Something about a third, you know, third heavens and things that he couldn't explain with words, and to keep him from boasting of these marvelous, miraculous, incredible, hard to explain with word revelations, this, you know, this thorn in the flesh is placed upon his body, is put into his life. And this is the thought behind this context is this. It's that the way to strength is through weakness. Now watch this. This is the tension of our spiritual journey. It's almost contradictory. The way to strength is through weakness. And so Paul is expanding on this and expounding on it a little bit more. And what exactly was his hang-up? What was his hiccup? What was the stronghold? What was the issue? What was this thorn? And this verse 9 is the key. And it says, my power, God's power, is perfected through our human weakness. And it's something about human weakness that we're not so keen on, are we? It's like a human universal weakness. We don't necessarily confess our weaknesses. We don't necessarily have a business card or an app for our weaknesses. It's not so easy to be vulnerable in front of people. Paul was, and he is, through the Holy Spirit, revealing the word to us that is, it's through our weakness that God's power is made strong. If you can, for those that can and would like to, in 1 Corinthians, we have to define power because that's the source. If we can understand the source, then we can understand better this whole journey of weakness. There's a tension. There's a tension in our Christianity. What is the tension? That through weakness comes power. There's this tension going on every day. And so to understand the tension, it's better that we understand the source of the power so that we know there's hope in the midst of our weakness. Amen? And that's going to take us to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 says this, and here it is. Verse 17. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not in cleverness of speech, that the cross of Christ should not be made void. Verse 18 is the key. For the word of the cross is to those who are perishing foolishness, but to us who are believing, who are being saved, it is the power of God. What is the power of God for us as we go through our weakness? The power of God is the cross of Christ. He was crucified in weakness. He was raised from the dead in power. For Jesus to get to the resurrection, he had to die and be buried and on the third day be raised in power. And so there's the tension. There's this tension in the gospel. There's a tension in our weakness. There's a tension in our lives. How do we go from weakness to power? How do we get there? And it's through the cross of Christ. It's the power of Christ. And so I just want to keep going through my notes here and be able to get to our second point. And it's this, Christ's power is made perfect in weakness. Christ's power is made perfect in weakness. And if you can turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. How do we get to that power, the source? How do we rest in his strength in the midst of our weakness? And I'll get very, very specific in a couple of minutes as we look to bring this to a close. Verse 6, it says, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, for God who said, light shall shine out of darkness, There's the tension again. Tension, light out of darkness, tension going on. Christianity is full of that tension, right? Light shall shine out of darkness is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Verse 7, but we have this treasure. Where is this treasure? In earthen vessels. There's that tension again. A treasure in earthen vessels. Weakness. There's power in weakness. And it says that the surpassing greatness of the power may be of God and not ourselves. How many want to see God's power in our lives? How many want to see the light shining in the darkness? Well, what has to happen? He has to break the earthen vessel for the light to shine. So power comes out of weakness. There's this tension going on in the life of Paul. But here it is, very specific. Verse 8, we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not despairing. 9, persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. I love this location. So when we go to Cuba, it's house churches. We're sitting on sofas and benches. All the different houses you can think of, most of the houses has just a tarp on the outside, and 80 people are outside on a bench with no backside. And there we are for 2-3 hours. Cubans are amazing musicians. And they sing their hearts to their heart's content. 45 minutes to an hour, easy. Preaching of the Word of God, easy. Some of the locations we've been in, house churches, tarps, under trees. One time we actually did a seminar in a slave quarters from the 1800s near a sugarcane factory and farm. In the slave quarters, that was different. Another time, one of the strangest locations was inside of a shipping container. You know, the metal shipping containers? And so we taught there for a long time. That was hot. But that was the church building. And I was thinking, it's not the outside that defines us. What defines us as Christians? What's in on the inside? What is the character building stages that God is doing in our hearts so that this light, the light of Jesus, can shine into the darkness everywhere we go? And so Paul is bringing up the tension of Christianity. Look at verse 11. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death works in us, but life in you. Tension. It's the tension. And here's verse 14. Knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus, who will be present with us. We're all going through life at different stages, aren't we? We're all facing different challenges. And we need Jesus at every step, at every turn. We're asking for him to lead us and direct us. We just came from North Carolina counseling a couple that I married in Venezuela 13 years ago, and he wants to divorce his wife now. And I looked at him straight in the eye, and I said, 13 years ago, I said to you at this place, are you sure you want to marry her? Because this is going to come up, and this is going to come up, and this is going to come up. And all those points came up in reality. And he apologized to me. He says, you don't have to apologize to me. I only did what we can do, right? What can we do? Counsel, help. Now we're in the midst of him wanting to divorce, tear apart the family. And I said to him, Christ is enough. But he's not limited to your limitations, I said to him. You're limited because you can't see the trees because of the forest. Or what is it? I just turned that around, didn't I? He can't see the forest because of the trees, right? Many of us are stuck in our funnel, aren't we? We have our funnels. We're all in our different funnel situations. And we can't see the big picture. We can't understand how God's light will shine forth in the darkness, how his earthen, how the treasure will break through this earthen vessel. We just can't see it. There's a tension in our lives. But Christ, in his faithfulness, as I spoke to this young man, verse 15, for all things are for your sakes, that the grace which is spreading to many more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound in the glory of God. Verse 15, God will exponentially use our situations to bless people that we're not even aware that they're looking into our lives to see how we're going to handle our tough, tough situation. Even death is used as a stepping stone. New couples coming into the neighborhood. First night, I had the window open because it was hot up in Baltimore. By the way, I don't know if we said, but we're from Baltimore. That's where we live when we're in the States. That's where her mom and dad is, Diana's mom and dad. And that's where my mom is, in Baltimore. And so we live in row home. We live in a row home. And across the street, young couple, they introduced themselves that afternoon. And that night, she went screaming out the door at 1:30 in the morning, woke me up. And they were fighting on the street. And I said, all things work together for good. And I'm praying for Anthony, and I'm reaching out to Anthony, and I'm going to be knocking on his door. How you doing, Anthony? How's it going with your new home without a wife? All things working together for God's great glory. Verse 16, the tension continues. Therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. Tension, momentary, light affliction versus producing an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. We do not look, we look not at the things which are seen, tension, but at the things which are not seen by faith. For the things which are seen are temporal, tension, but the things that are not seen are eternal. And I close with you today. I close this message in this point here. Isn't it interesting that it's God's, here it is, I wrote it down. It's not God's first time working with weak and struggling people. Are you with me? It's not his first time. He's seen it and done it before. Abraham had problems with lying. Moses had a stuttering issue. Anna could not be pregnant. Esther didn't want to reveal her true identity in the palace. She might have lost her reward points or her perks of being in the inner court, right? How about David murdered someone? How about Peter denied Christ? Thomas was a doubter, and the author of our epistle this morning, Paul, he persecuted Christians. God doesn't have a problem dealing with our struggling situations. He's patient, he's loving, he's caring, he's a God of hope. He will bring the light through the darkness. He will break just enough the earthen vessel for the treasure to spring forth. He loves you. He cares for you. Even Jesus was born in weakness, crucified in weakness. Even Jesus came from a broken family. Even Jesus had a financial need. Even Jesus was not attractive. In Isaiah 53, human weakness. Even he lived in poverty. Even he was born out of wedlock. And Jesus didn't even speak English. How about that? The Bible wasn't written in English. That's pretty wild, right? How did he end his life? 2 Corinthians chapter 13, and we'll end there. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. For indeed he was crucified because of weakness, yet he lives because of the power of God. For we also are weak in him, yet we shall live with him because of the power of God directed toward you. Amen? We may be weak, but he is strong. In our weakness, it's the way to strength. This is the power of the cross. This is the glory of our gospel. And this is what gives us hope in the midst of this boss. If we just didn't have that boss, if we could just turn the corner on our own business, if we could just get that client, right? How about me as a missionary in Venezuela for 18 years, renting 6 different properties? If we could just have our own little property, we would be just fine. How many are with me? We're always on the cusp of asking for something else, always unsettled just enough to say, I'm not content. I'm not there yet. If this relationship could just work its way out, work its way in. Christ says to us today, he was crucified in weakness, but he was raised in power, the power of the cross. What a joy to be a Christian, knowing that all things work together for our good in the end. Amen? So I want to thank you for listening to me these couple of minutes. It's a joy to be here in the Good News Church, and it's a joy to be with our friends too as they settle in from Pittsburgh, and Renato welcoming us into your new home. And it's a joy to meet you all. May God bless you. Thank you, Drew, for having us. And we look forward to being in the future here again. As we know, we're going down to Florida, be with our kids. We ask that you would pray for us. It's the first time we've ever married a child of ours. So could you pray for us? Because we feel kind of weak. We feel a little bit unsure. He's only 21. She's 21. That's interesting. But we're okay with that, right? We're going to hand them over to God and let God do the work that he can do in the lives of these 21-year-olds. So I want to thank you for listening. May the Lord bless you today. And it's a joy to be here.
Father, thank you so much that there is a provision of power for our situation of weakness and unbelief and whatever it is where we are and going through and thinking. We thank you so much today that the same Jesus that was raised by God from the cross of Calvary and on the third day was raised by the power of God, that same power, it's available to us in our weakness so that we can overcome. Thank you so much. Thank you for Adam and Diana. Thank you for their ministry. And thank you for bringing each one of us here this morning to worship you and to hear your word and to encourage one another. And it's in your name, Jesus, that we pray. Amen.